So this is a long arichus about Ehovas HaMelacha. It's Avos Reb Nosson, which is a braisa on Pirkei Avos. It has the same style, sort of. It has a lot of the Mishnah and different things. And it goes like this: Shmai Avtalin Kiblu Mehem Shmai Omer Ehovas HaMelacha Snos Rabbanus Valdesvada Rishus. So that's the nusach of the Mishnah. Now this is a nusach and Avos Reb Nosson. The two variations of the nusach. Avos Reb Nosson is obviously like all braises. The nuschos are a bit complicated. Ehovas HaMelacha Chayev Adam Nios Ehovas HaMelacha Vosi Melacha. A person should like work. And melacha here means, you know, not work as opposed to learning, as much as craftsmanship, doing things. And a person should enjoy the melacha and the osik melacha. Falok gvarim kal b'chayme. Umayim HaKadosh Baruch Hu sheloi oylem umloyoi. Lo boro yisal bedova. Shenem adva Hashem shamayim nasu. V'hu ksiv sheosu melacha shem melachta sheosu. B'nei odom askam v'kama. So the description that we have of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's actions in this world is called that he did a maisa, some sort of pa'ula with dibur, and it's called malacha. So let's just understand a little bit how to understand these type of braises. It means HaKadosh Baruch Hu's actions are not something we understand in any way what it is, but we can draw analogies and say, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to use malacha and dibur for doing things, and we also have something called malacha in our world, that malacha is somehow parallel, and we should understand it in terms of bearing the same attributes, bearing the same value, negative or positive, in this case positive. So even though there's no way you can translate what does it mean malacha by Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's irrelevant. Whatever it means, but we've been given a similar item in our world, and that is as positive as Ribbono Shel Olam doing it. Was it
something that he needed to do? Was that needed? I assume because everything grew anyway.
So it means doing avodas Hashem and so on. So this doesn't mean to negate the previous point. It just says that his dag of avoda was avoda of Hashem and doing what is, you know, the world of mitzvahs, not doing world of averis. But again, it's using the same term of avoda, which on our level could translate to something physical, some physical accomplishment.
So Klal Yisrael has a chiyuv both on Shvisa, on Shabbos, and on Melacha, on Sheshes Yomim.
In other words, Sheshes Yom Tav, it's interesting because the non from people use this, they throw this at the in Eretz Yisrael, you know, it says Sheshes Yom Tavod and so on. That is a correct interpretation of the pasuk, except that one, if a person's melacha, avoda, accomplishment is in the world of ruchnius, that becomes that. So it's not, and it has to be of that madrega. In other words, a person can't say, "Well, I'm in kolol. I'm not in kolol. I'm either doing and accomplishing and of something that's on the same order of accomplishment as one would call malacha, or it doesn't count, one or the other."
So he says the Rebbe Aimek, Gdoyle Melacha she kol mishan isik b'melacha b'nei adam isichem bay. Minayin ish plani oichel minayin oshoise. It arouses people's people speak about him. Where does he have food from? What is he? You know. So obviously it's not. That's not considered commendable to sit and speak Lashon Hara. I assume that the Bryce is not encouraging people to speak Lashon Hara, but what it is saying is it arouses a certain type of astonishment. It's as if the Bria is pointing a finger at you and saying you're eating free food. So he gives a marshal, just like a woman who does not have a husband and she goes out dressed up, made up, people ask themselves what she up to. So this is something in this world, not having a job, an employment of some sort, is something that arouses automatically, so it's suspicious as it is. Rebbe Megdoyle Melacha Shekomisha Isik B'Melacha En Yore Chaseiro Pruta Loila. For instance, the Melacha will always have money. Rebbe Yisayma Gedoyle Melacha Shalei Shorso Shechina Al Yisrael Achase Melacha. Melacha is big because Klal Yisrael is... there was no Ashra Shechina Tul Melacha Shenem V'Asul Mikdash Chanti B'Soicha. So this also, it was a Ruchnistek activity, but it was a very, very, it meant there was an input of Asiyah. There's no such thing as things happening, good things happening, unless there's some sort of Asiyah. So Klal Yisrael needed to be Oisik Melech Samishkan, and that's when you could have you could have Ashras Hashchina. Without that, there couldn't be Ashras Hashchina. V'oidam v'yaisik doyle melacha shal kol mishen oisik b'melacha reizim mischaya b'nafshay. Ke'eze tzara yibotl b'yam rishon u'b'yam sheni ve'en lo ma'yoychol. So the Braise says, be'eze tzad, what do you mean is mischaya b'nafshay? How does a person become? So he says, o yibotl b'yam rishon u'b'yam sheni. A person wasn't working on Sunday and Monday. Ve'en lo ma'yoychol, doesn't have what to eat. So and he has Mos Hegdish for Ochel. Hareze Mischai Benafshe. Migorom Lishai Benafshe Shahi Oisik B'Melacha. So a person, because you need money and you need something to live off, you're eventually, what you're going to do is you're going to use money that you're not allowed to, even Hegdish money, which you're Chayiv Misa for. Because as a person gets pushed to a wall, he reaches out and grabs what he can grab. Reb Meir Oimer, Gedoyle hi melacha, shekol mishein oisim melacha b'choil sefasas b'shabbos. If you don't do it b'choil, you do it Shabbos. Meizet sad, how? Hayibod divishah sheni ve'in lama yochal, holach ve'gonaf, tofsu masu l'malchus, itul asas melacha b'shabbos. Migo asas melacha shabbos, osim melacha b'choil. So this is a scenario where a person resorts to stealing in order to in order to earn a parnasa, and the government jails him. In those days, they would force people to work, and they ended up forcing him to work on Shabbos. So once again, he's at fault because of that. How's that? Olo l'roish ha'gag v'nof l'meis. Halema says, Elo b'teich ha'batola. So I guess this is, he just had nothing to do, so he ended up, you know, doing something like that, like going up to roish ha'gag. I think translating it, there's a few ways, I mean, I would translate it in different ways. People need something, some action, something to... And if you don't have what to do, you look for exciting things. You look for things that are, evoke excitement, juices, and you end up doing things that are dangerous. So once again, a person does things that are dangerous because of Batala. Omalahem, Leishon Chazal. Okay, in French, Omla Omer Al Uma Venich Pomes Holemes Lam Teich Habatol. Same idea. Omalem Leishon Chachom Zal Shim Cholish Shnayim Oshleish Yomim Holemese Elam Teich Habatol. So, if a person takes ill 2 or 3 days, so I assume, I'm not sure if it means here that he doesn't have a means of supporting himself, or it means that not working causes a person to get sick. Like today, we know people that are inactive, it's just a question of time till they're... I think I told you, Rabbi Yaakov Karnetsky told my father, Zechanei Livracha. My father was a shamus in a shul, worked very hard. When he turned 80, he asked Rabbi Yaakov about retiring. Rabbi Yaakov Karnetsky was like the shul, was our family rav. And he told my father, it says by Yaakov, Vayesav Yaakov Esraglov Vayigva Vayomois, that Yaakov took he said, when you take 2 feet off the ground, you die. In other words, a person not working, his body begins to dry out, shrivel up. It actually, this type of thing actually is very, very common, unfortunately, in America, when you have the concept of retirement, which is a horrible concept. The idea that a person doesn't do anything really useful. It's not as if the person... So if a person is a frum yid and he says, okay, I've taken care of my material needs, now let me go and do something. Let me learn, let me do chesed, let me be oisik tzarchei tzibur, let me take care of shul, and so on. So that's something that is a... okay, that's great. But if a person really has nothing that he does of significance, so he'll pick up fishing, he'll pick up touring, he'll pick up going here or there, that's a type of misa that a person is going on himself. But Tola, it's true on a ruchnistic level, person isn't doing much. It's true on a it's also true on a physical level, that the body basically is getting a signal that time to begin is shutting down. And it's something that it's such a mistake. People definitely can't work as hard at 80 as they worked at 50, so that's fine. So work lighter, do lighter. But the idea that you wake up in the morning, there's nothing much for you to do except making toast, that's a problem. It's so against, and it has a lot to do with... someone told me, a woman recently was speaking here, that she's come to realization she only works to keep herself busy, and it bothers her. And so, to her credit, she was looking to stop working and find something to keep herself busy that she's proud of, that she cares about. That's a date. I feel like men yof for dinner, oichovena boish. So, in other words, normally anything you take from somebody else, you have to pay for. When you work for somebody else, a poel that works for somebody else, the Torah says he can eat, it doesn't make a difference what, as much as he wants. Voidei reblozaim a gdoile melocha shakol adnena shaputim hegdishmol, a poelim osu hegdish, vnoitas charmin a hegdish. Every craftsman goes and is proud of his work. You see that people wear different, like the people would keep a quill under their ear, and they would keep the whatever it is, people feel the sense of pride that people feel in the work they do is a simen that it's good. It's a natural thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kuris Melachta Hashem Melachta She'osa. Now that's kama. You see again, using the parallel of HaKadosh Baruch Hu calling the world Melachtoi, in that he's proud of it. Rebbe Yoyim Gdoili Melacha Shafila Adam Shtei Ribui En Yoytze L'Shuk HaCheis Atef Be'ezet Sad Yoytze Balantis K'shul Yerechoi V'chavis Al K'seifov U'mishtapeach B'mnosoi. So again, you see that people wear their whatever it is that they are working in, that's what they carry. You know, it's on one standard with their clothing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Melachta Hashem Melachta She'asa Shavna Adam Melachta Kama Kama." Voider Rabbi Oyim Gdoyle Melacha Shafila Adam Chotze Gina Charavim Yelach Ve'Askibem She'Askibem Melacha. So even if a person has something that really doesn't yield much, but a person should be osek in doing it. So all of these are Ma'amari Chazal, that different inyanim of Melacha are important and so on. I'd like a minute to turn it on the other way around. A lot, these Ma'amari Chazal are used a lot, you know, against Kolol people and so on, which is wrong, because the other Mishnas, you know, Melacha was basic in this, and if a person works at this with the same intensity and feels the same level of pride and accomplishment, then you know, there's nothing better than Torah. But the flip side is, unfortunately today, when people go into some sort of occupation, it used to be a person was attached to what he did. I'm running a grocery store, I make cabinets, I have a factory that manufactures widgets, I'm a manufacturer of these widgets, and so on. So a person had a certain identification and pride with the work that he was doing and what accomplishing. Today, it's for a lot of people, just about the money. It's not what I'm doing, it's how much I'm making. But it's almost no sense. It's one thing if a person does something. There are many professions where a person adds value. I buy up a company that's failing, I restructure it, I put it, you know, I now it's running well and it's become a very a profitable company and people buy, that's great. A person buys dilapidated buildings, renovates them, he's smart enough to realize where it could be, what could be done with this good, and he builds up something nice and people buy into it, that's great. That's not less melacha. It requires hard work, it requires thing, and has a sense of accomplishment in what he's doing. But if a person is basically just not doing much, you know, it's all it is about, you know, making a profit, but it's totally disassociated from what he's actually accomplishing, that's also problematic. In other words, the pride of melacha is that a person feels a certain sense, I'm in the Ribono Shel Olam's world, and I am enhancing it. And a person feels different. It's not cheap money, it's not easy money, it works hard, and if he's blessed and he does a good job, then it becomes very well. But if it's very vague, and the person really is not having a sense of accomplishing, so even if there's a lot of money coming down, it's a problem. I think that's one of the issues our generation has, is there's no real sense, there's no pride in it. It's not like saying, you know, I'm a real estate developer and I really like spotting. It takes me a long time and I spot the right type of place and I get people and I sell them on the vision and I build it up and I make it the problem is not the profit. The problem is the lack of sense of doing something. Like the Zohar, like you bring the Sefer, cheap money or empty money has a ruach tum on it. So people disassociate. Geneva and gzela are because money becomes cheap. When a person feels, you know, when a person feels the hanah of eating by the sweat of his brow, so then he doesn't want something. Once a person has tasted the hanah of a job well done and profiting from it, a person doesn't want the cheap hanah of money just kind of coming from nowhere. I don't know. I think it's one of the issues. And in a broader way also, it's even in Ruchnius, going further afield, I was speaking to a parent who has money, and he wanted to buy, he had to buy tefillin for his kids, so he wanted to buy the most expensive pair of tefillin available. And I told him it's a horrible, horrible thing. I said, it cheapens ruchnius, it's like just a question of money, and also, your kid doesn't have a sense of growing to something, deserving something. Buy him a nice pair of tefillin, a good, a mahadrik pair of tefillin, and let him someday come to the point where he wants something more, where he understands what he's getting more and goes for it. The idea that kedusha is automatic, just plunk enough money down and you get it, is destructive. I don't know, it's part of the problems, I think.
Square it with the idea that the working, the sweat of the brow, is actually knas. How can you be proud of something if ultimately it's just a knas?
Because it's a knas that it's the only way things will work for you. In other words, if we will not sweat, then it'll be poison for us. That klola is something which is, it's, the klola is not just that we have to work to earn bread. We have to work to earn bread in order to survive in a ruchnistic way. And that's where the klola is. It's innate our nature, or else it's not good. It's cheap and empty money, and that's it. My wife's grandfather, Blaise Yudel, he always pushed very hard people should either get fahers on a lot of Black Gemara or say Shtekach Torah. He was always working with people, you have to tell me Shtekach Torah, you have to say this, have that. That was his modus operandi. Very famous stories where he would even if you weren't in yeshiva, like if you came with all the good Shtekach Torah, he would give you money, he would sometimes argue with it and say he doesn't like it and so on. So this I heard from the person himself. There was a dayan in Yerushalayim named Reb Shilo Rafael Zechon Evracha. Very chashva dayan. He died youngish. So he once came down to Reb Lezi Yudel to sign off on his draft notice that for the army. So the notice says that I testify that this person is Teirose Umnase. That's the phrase in Hebrew, in that, you know, he sits full time and learns. So Lizel said, you know, I wonder how they interpret the concept of Umnas. It says there's a halachic phrase, Umen Koine Beshvach Kli, which means that, let's say he takes a table and improves it, he takes wood and builds a table out of it, the improvement is what he acquires. So he said, could be that they hold that an umen is only umen if he added some value to the product. So I'm going to have to hear Shtekel Torah from you to see if you really have a din umen for that. That was a little sense of humor, kind of. But the point was, terasim nosa means that the person feels he crafted, he accomplished, he did something. If a person just feels someone asked me at some sort of symposium about this, and someone asked, so let's say I've been sitting 5 years and learning and so on and so forth and so on and this and that. So I told him, I want to sort of stop about something that you said. You said, you give me a case where somebody sat 5 years and learned. I said, the only thing that's measured in years is time in jail. In other words, nobody said I did 5 years again. It sounds I spent 5 years and it is like that. There's a lack of quantifiable accomplishment, and that becomes a very big problem. On the one hand, it's It's a bit of a paradox. On the one hand, we rightfully stress that Torah is infinite, and it's not like college, university, where it's a course, you pass the course, and that's it, and you never come back again. It's Torah Chaim, Torah is infinite. That philosophy is a correct statement, hard to contest it. But what the flip side of it is, we don't deal well with infinity. So if there's an infinite amount of Torah to learn, and I learned two lines today, that's fine. I don't feel the pressure of accomplishment. So the rare person, the Chazanish, or Kedome, who could pressure himself to sit and learn with that intensity forever, 24/7 and every day, 365 days a year, so that's phenomenal. Then the person is really, that's transcends human reality. But for a lot of people, the lack of having that type of definite, the pressure of tests and things that you finished and accomplished, it becomes counterproductive, and they don't have that sense of umness. I don't know. It is. It's a very, very difficult balance. You don't want to become a university where you just pass a course and you go weiter, and then, you know, that with all of the negative part of it, so that has no real value, you don't stay with it, and so on. But on the other hand, without having some sense of, I've done this sugya, I've done this well, I want to redo this again, this I have to learn this way, that way, we also don't learn it well. So, I don't know, it needs a very delicate balance of both.
Okay.
Okay, we'll hold it here.
Thank you.